So now is the moment we all dread when we try the PowerPoint and it doesn't work. Okay. Oh, that's the first slide. So you can see from that we're talking about God's upside down kingdom. Where do you expect a baby to be born? Any ideas? Hospital? Anywhere else? Home? Yeah. I very nearly had one of mine in the car park at Lister. But I don't think many of us would expect a baby to be born in a stable or a barn, surrounded by animals. But Jesus was, because God doesn't look at things in the same way as people. So God's upside down kingdom. Is this the right way or the wrong way? Hang on. It's no way at all. It looks. Okay, so if we could have the next one. Was that one upside down? Is this one upside down? What does upside down look like? To lots of people, God's kingdom is completely upside down. But what you see depends how you look. So let's look at this picture. First glance, that's a beautiful picture of a lake with trees reflected in it. If we have the next one, oh, it's the same picture. And if we go to the next one and we have them together, you can see that actually the first one was upside down. That tree is pointing up to the sky. It's not being reflected because there aren't two of it, if you see what I mean. If you look carefully, it can't be a reflection because there isn't a tree there to be reflected. But actually, we don't often look that carefully, and we see what we want to see. So we're going to play a quick game. Well, hopefully not that quick, because we need to make the service last till 11:30. We're going to have a quick game of what is this when it's upside down? Or we've got it the right way up, or we haven't got it at all.
We're in trouble.
Oh, don't panic.
Hang on a minute. I don't want that at the moment. Right, okay. So what do we think we're looking at here? Yep. A man with a hat. Yeah, let's turn it up the other way. That's it. Brilliant. And if we put them both next to each other? So we could be looking at a grumpy man in a polo neck, or we could be looking at a slightly less grumpy man with a bobble hat on. Okay, what do you see in this picture? A pig. It's a pig, is it? Okay. What does it look like now? Yeah. So if we put them both next to each other, it really depends which way up you put that as to whether you think it's quite a cute pig, although actually pigs are a bit more frightening than you think they might be, or whether it's a really frightening shark coming towards you. Should we do another one? Okay. Yeah, okay. And what do you think it is if it's up the other way? You can already see what it is up the other way. Let's have them both next to each other. Okay, so that one's a swan up the other way. Okay, next one, just this one. What do we think this one is? Sorry, I've got my back to some of the children. A person with white hair. What sort of person might that be? Is that? You think it's a man? Okay. Let's try that one up the other way. Do we still think that's a man? No, I think it's a lady that we are. And if we put them next to each other, there we are. We've got a man with a beard or a lady with an Elizabethan haircut. The next one. What do we think this one is? It looks like a deer, but what will it look like? She's too quick for me. Yeah, and if we see them both together. So it depends how you look at it, what you're seeing. Okay, the next one. Now, this is someone called Einstein. It looks like we're looking at just two pictures of him upside down. But if we turn it up the other way, actually, in the first picture, some of his features have been turned upside down, and he doesn't look very right at all, does he? No, I wouldn't like to meet that man in the street on a dark night. Okay, the next one. Right, please don't move it for a minute. But what do you think it is up the other way? Could be a fox. Any other guesses? Giraffe. Okay, let's put it up the other way. There we are. It's a pretty giraffe. Okay, and one last one. It's an old man wearing a cap, but what's it going to be when we turn it up the other way? Huh? Any guesses from over here? Go on then, let's see what it's going to be. It's a dog with a bone. Okay, if we see them together. There we go. So what you see actually depends how you look. And we're going to watch a video now about God's upside down kingdom.
We're in trouble!
Don't panic. We can solve this.
We just drove right into that ditch.
I've never seen two horses get spooked by a bunny rabbit before.
Well, you haven't met our horses. They've got a thing for rabbits.
Terrified of them. Poor ponies.
If my truck were running, I'd yank you right out of there.
If your truck was running, we wouldn't have needed a ride in the first place.
Well, excuse me. I didn't see your truck giving us a ride.
This is not going very well. Come on, fellas. Let's stay friends. I'm sure someone will be along shortly. Maybe now is a good time to tell you my story of the upside down kingdom.
We're not really in the mood.
Besides, we're learning what Christmas is about, not about some funky somersaulting kingdom.
But the upside down kingdom is what Christmas is about.
Maybe later, Chester. I'm sure someone's right around the corner.
How about now?
Oh, all right. Tell us your story.
And now, through the magic of a popsicle stick of puppetry, I present the true meaning of a Christmas, the upside down kingdom. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world.
Wait, this sounds kind of familiar.
It sure does. Let's see where he's going with it.
Who is Caesar and what's a census?
Caesar, he was the king of everything. A real big shot.
And a census is when you count everybody and see how many people you got.
That's all right. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph, that's this guy, went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David.
You mean King David? Israel's best king ever?
Yeah, that's the one.
Is King David gonna turn upside down?
I'm not done yet. Joseph went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. This is a Mary. She's got a big tummy because she's going to have a baby. Anyway, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. Here he is! Isn't he cute? Ahem. She wrapped him in a cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
They put him in a what?
A manger. It's a feeding trough for animals.
Why would you put a baby in a feeding trough?
Because he was born in a barn.
My granddaddy was born in a barn.
You don't say.
First thing he saw was a horse. Thought it was his mother till he was 5 years old.
Can we get back to the story?
Sorry.
Ahem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. Here they are now. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Why would they be terrified to see an angel? Cute little babies with little wings and tiny hops.
Because that's not what angels look like. Angels weren't little babies, they were big. One person who saw one said it was like looking at lightning.
Oh, I can see where that might be a little frightening.
That's why the first thing angels always have to say when they show up somewhere is, don't freak out, I'm not gonna hurt you.
That's right. So the angel said to them, do not be afraid, kind of like, don't freak out. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.
Messiah? What's that?
Messiah means anointed one or chosen one. The one who has been chosen to save us.
This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger.
The chosen one was in a feeding trough?
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel. That means lots of angels. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into a heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
This is the story of how Jesus was born.
It sure is. It's from Luke chapter 2.
If Jesus is the chosen one, the one who can save the whole world, why was he born in a barn and put in a trough? Shouldn't he have been in a fancy palace?
Yeah, and why did the angels make this big announcement to a bunch of shepherds? They were just ordinary folk, like janitors or people who fix cars or cut grass. Why didn't they come to powerful people like kings or judges or rulers?
Yeah, the whole thing seems backwards and upside down.
Wait. Is that why you called it the Upside Down Kingdom? Now you've got it, my friends. The way Jesus' life began tells us God's new kingdom will be a very different kind of a kingdom. Not about the armies and the palaces, but about Jesus, the Son of God, giving up everything for us. His throne, his power, even his life. Instead of taking power, this king will give up his power for us.
He turned everything upside down.
Okay. Oh. I don't think I want page 3, because that might be where we've already been. So can you remember any of the things about the Christmas story that they said were upside down in the video? Eliana, can you remember anything? No? Anyone else? Alex, can you remember anything that was upside down? Any of the slightly bigger people remember anything? Oh. In a barn, that's right. Why was he born in a barn rather than in a palace? That's right. Anybody else? Pick anything else up?
Why did the angel go to shepherds?
I apologise for janitors, but it's an American thing. So, but I think lots of people tend to think of cleaners as the bottom of the pile here. It's not right, but that's how people think. And people thought in those days that shepherds were the bottom of the pile. They certainly weren't rich, and they certainly weren't powerful. Anything else anyone picked up? No? Can we? Trough, that's right. He was put in a feeding trough or a manger, not in an elaborate crib. Is it possible to have the PowerPoint back on? Sorry, I don't know if I said that twice. I didn't mean to be bossy if I did say it twice. There, so we've got a list there of the things I think they said in the video. As Eliana said, Jesus was born in a stable or a barn, not in a palace. He was born into dirt and not into cleanliness. They put him in a manger or a feeding trough, not an elaborate crib, as somebody else said. Is that you? That was you. As Helen said, he was visited first by the shepherds who weren't rich and powerful. And Jesus gave up his throne, his power, and his life. He didn't come to take power, but to give it up. If the worship team would like to come up, we're going to sing a song now about the Saviour who was born in a squalid, which means dirty, borrowed stable, who was and is the King of Heaven, but who walked the earth so he could be the friend of sinners by dying on a cross to save us from our sin. Emmanuel, God with us. If you just listen and think about the words as we're singing it. Dawn hard this morning, I really apologise for that. But if we could go back and have the second half of the video.
Now you've got it, my friends. The way Jesus' life began tells us God's new kingdom will be a very different kind of a kingdom. Not about the armies and the palaces, but about Jesus, the Son of God, giving up everything for us. His throne, his power, even his life. Instead of taking power, this king will give up his power for us.
He turned everything upside down.
That's why we give him so many names. Savior, Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel? I've heard that in a song before.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
I thought Christmas was about Jesus. Who's this Emmanuel guy?
Emmanuel is another name for Jesus. It means God with us.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Which he most certainly is not.
Why do you say that?
Well, look at the day we've had. My truck broke down, then those ladies were rude to us, then you guys come along, and what happens? Your sleigh breaks because of a rabbit. Where's God with us in all that?
I think you're missing the point, Chuckwagon.
How so?
God with us doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen. It doesn't mean you won't ever have a bad day.
Well, what's it mean, then?
It means the ultimate bad thing will never happen to you.
The what?
He's right. Emmanuel is one of the names for Jesus. Jesus is God with us. This is the most important bit of Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about.
Oh, come on. I've heard that a million times. Giving, what Christmas is all about. Family, what Christmas is all about. Getting a great deal on a new TV, what Christmas is all about.
No, listen. The world says the real meaning of Christmas is all sorts of things. Shopping, family, big sales on TVs and refrigerators. But we know it's Jesus, right? That's why it's called Christmas.
Christ's Mass. Right.
Look. God made us, and he loves us, but we can't be with God on our own.
Why not?
Because God is perfect, and we're not. We're always messing up. We're always making mistakes and fighting and hurting each other's feelings.
That's true. I do mess up a lot.
I was messing up just now, being unkind about your truck breaking down.
I'm afraid I wasn't being very kind either.
For us to go to God, we would have to be as perfect as he is. Perfectly loving, perfectly kind, every second of every day.
Well, that's not gonna work.
No, it isn't.
There's a big old space between God and us that we just can't cross.
No matter how hard we try, we can't be perfect. And unless we're perfect, we can't go to God. So God came to us.
He did?
He did. He became human like us. Jesus. He gave up his throne in heaven, turned his life upside down, and then lived perfectly without ever messing up so he could take all our mess ups and pay for them himself.
He paid for our mess-ups?
That's right, Ian. That's what he did on the cross. That's why he was born. So in God's eyes, we could be perfect.
So we can be with him.
That's right. Being apart from God forever, that's the ultimate bad thing. We can't cross that distance, but God can.
Right. We couldn't go to God, so God came to us. Emmanuel.
We can't be good enough for God.
There's no way we can go to him.
But Jesus makes us good enough for God,
and that goodness we can shout at him. The goodness and graciousness of Jesus washes me whiter than snow.
So if I give my life to Jesus, then at last I'll know
that even though
I'm not good enough for God,
I'll never be alone. 'Cause Jesus makes me good enough for God,
and in God I'll find my home. So no matter how bad I've been, Jesus can wash the bad right off of me so I can be with God forever.
That's right, Ian. That's the miracle of Christmas, the miracle of the upside-down kingdom. It isn't just for rich and famous people. It's for shepherds.
And janitors.
And auto mechanics and lunch ladies and fast food restaurant workers and...
We get the idea, Ian. The miracle of Christmas is for everyone.
Okay, so the miracle of Christmas is for everyone. One little sideline story. This week I've been decorating with Nathan, my eldest, at his flat. And he used to have varnished brown wood windows or window frames that we were painting white. And he had, as the generation that he's in, does, he'd looked at every video online. We could use normal paint and a couple of coats, it would be absolutely fine. So after the third coat of white paint, when the red is bleeding through, he decides that maybe we do need the other product that I've been suggesting. So we go out and buy this product and we paint it on, and the instructions on that say, first time you paint it, it will look like it's bled through again because it locks it in, but it really won't. If you put a second coat on, it will be white. So two coats of that, so we've now painted it five times. And yes, it is white, but there are some places where the paint hasn't quite been there when you've taken the masking tape off. And those areas are going to bleed through again, because no matter how many times we try to whitewash over things, we can't do it on our own. Only with God's help, with Jesus as our Saviour, can we be white as snow and come into his kingdom. So we're going to have a recap by looking at slide 32, if the PowerPoint would like to work. Okay, so remember, we're looking at things upside down. What do we think this might be if we look at it the other way up? What do you think that is? Yeah?
Upside down.
Upside down, yeah. What is it? Yeah, it looks like a man that way up. Oh, well done. Brilliant. Sorry, not that you weren't brilliant. Thank you. I didn't hear you, Eliana. There we go. So it's a horse or a donkey when we put it up the other way, or it's a policeman with a big moustache if it's up the other one. It really just depends which way you look at it. Okay. What about this picture? What do you people see in this picture? This one isn't upside down, but it's just a different way of looking at things. What can anybody see? Yeah, it could be Albert Einstein. How many people could you see in that picture?
Five.
Well done. Can everybody see five people? Yeah? Ah, yeah, you see? You might just be able to see an old lady and an old man, but if you look at their faces, you can see someone playing the guitar to a lady on the other side. That's right, there's somebody in his ear or in the doorway, depending what you like to see it as. So it really does depend what you see. Okay, if we could have the first of the next pictures. What's this one upside down then?
Four.
Four, okay. What's this one upside down?
God.
God, yeah. Okay, next one. Bit obscure.
A lady with a pillow.
What's she doing?
Sewing.
So I'm going for sew. It's, we're having sound alikes because I. Okay, what's the next one?
Aha!
Yeah, and what? When you see that on a T-shirt, it's I Heart New York or I Heart Stopfold. What does that mean? Does anyone know? Love. So love. And the next one, what's that one? The earth or the world, that's it. Okay, so let's put all of those together. What have we got there? Can we read it all in one go? Yeah? That's it. Okay, and then if we have the last one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So Christmas might be a bit of an upside down and backward story, but one of the real meanings of Christmas is Easter, God's Son given for us on the cross. In the story, it talked about what was the real meaning of Christmas. Can you remember any of the things that could be the real meaning of Christmas? Yeah, that's the real meaning of Christmas. But the world might see it as shopping, family, expensive presents, eating too much, a few days off work. But they're looking at things upside down or from the wrong angle and missing the real meaning of Christmas. God's perfect plan, Jesus coming as a baby, born in a dirty stable, laid in a feeding trough, visited by shepherds, walking the earth, as we sang, experiencing happy times and sad times in his life, just like we do, but then going on to die on a cross to give us a way back to God. The best present you can give anyone this Christmas is to tell them how much God loves them and wants to be their friend. And what we're going to do now is we're going to do some gift tag prayers. What I would like you to do is to write the name of somebody on one of these gift tags who you would like to know Jesus as their special friend, who you would like this Christmas, that they had the best gift of all, which is Jesus in their life. And then when we've written them, we're going to put them in the box and we're going to pray for them. I did do a Spotify playlist, but I never told you, so you wouldn't know about that. Michael, would you like to hand some of these out, please? The white ones are glossy on one side, so you might find it difficult to write on them, but just see how you get on. And you'll also need a pen, which we will also hand out. So we're all going to write the name of somebody. Thank you. The name of somebody that we would like to know Jesus. Somebody in our family, somebody at school or at work, who we're praying for that they will come to know Jesus for themselves. Okay, so I'm going to pray and I'd like you to think about the person that you've written on your tag. Okay. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you that although to the world it's all upside down, it was all part of your master plan to bring salvation to the world. Lord, we thank you that knowing Jesus is the best gift that you can have this Christmas. And we pray for each person whose name is in this box, Lord. We pray that you will reveal yourself to them. Lord, as we're going to now name them in our hearts, Lord, we just ask that you would bring salvation to them this Christmas. So if you'd just like to name the person in your heart who you've put on a tag on here. Father, we thank you that your love is for everyone, just like it said in the video. You don't have to be rich and powerful. You don't have to earn your way into your kingdom, Lord. You can't earn your way into your kingdom. Lord, it is just through knowing that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and that he washes us whiter than the snow. Thank you, Father, for that most precious gift of salvation that you have given us and all the good gifts you give us every day. Lord, we just pray that this Christmas time we wouldn't think that the real meaning is the turkey or the tinsel, but we would know that Christ is the real reason for Christmas and the joy and the sorrow of Easter that is to come after it. We thank you for your love, Lord. Amen. Okay, if the worship team would like to come up. When we've finished, there are Advent calendars for all the children. They've all got names on them, so you need to see Helen and I so that you get the right one so that we know that everybody gets one, because otherwise we won't know who's had one and who hasn't. And you can open a window every day, and with the special book in here, you can read more every day about the real meaning of Christmas. So that, no, you can wait until the end. Because we need to make sure you get the right one, okay? And it'll be a bit chaotic if we all start running around now. So we're going to sing our final worship song, From the Inside Out.